This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Governors find themselves in the political crosshairs of the pandemic, and this week, states began diverging from the federal government's recommendations. Neighboring governors in Georgia, Tennessee, and South Carolina began allowing some businesses to turn the lights back on. And across the nation, rallies to reopen are gaining traction.
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Freedom!
When do we want it?
Now!
Here in North Carolina, frustration is building. Governor Cooper doubled down on precautions yesterday and extended a stay-at-home order. All of the stay-at-home orders, in fact. Meanwhile, some local governments are asking for regional authority to lift the restrictions. We're going to hear from a Wilkes County commissioner who is ready to start rebuilding the local economy. But first, the reopen movement persists here in North Carolina, along with questions about the legality of the protests. To tell us more about the rally, Steve Harrison joins us now. He's a political reporter at WFAE in Charlotte. Steve, welcome to the State of Things.
Thank you for having me.
You've been to these rallies. Give us a sense of what the rationale is and what the arguments are that folks are making for reopening sooner rather than later.
So the most recent rally was in Raleigh on Tuesday. I'd say there was about 500 people. And, I mean, they want to reopen the economy now. That's the main thing. There is kind of a little bit of a difference in the group in terms of there are some people who were just kind of saying, like, look, no rules. We all decide, you know, we all decide what's best for us. If you're not comfortable, you don't leave your house. I mean, there's kind of that segment. Then there's a other group that kind of like that we want to reopen now, and we're willing to deal with some restrictions on occupancy and things like that. But the main theme is that they feel like stay at home has been going on far too long. They are hurting economically and they want help.
Give us a sense of what these rallies have looked like. And it's been going on for a couple of weeks. So maybe a sense of the trend in terms of who's turning out and numbers of people and what they're looking like most recently.
So I would say the one, I was not at the first one 2 weeks ago. I went to the one this week. And I mean, there is a, just visually, when you look at the rally, there's a huge overlap with like a Trump Make America Great Again rally. I mean, that's not to say that across the state, everyone who wants to reopen feels that way and supports the president. But the rally itself, I mean, there was just tremendous overlap in terms of so many signs supporting the president. There was even someone like selling Trump merchandise in the parking lot outside the Capitol. So it looks so much the same. A lot of anger toward Governor Cooper, a lot of defense of the president. And then this week's rally was a little more spirited because a week before the very first rally, one person was arrested. And there was this back and forth over whether this rally was even allowed under stay at home.
I know you spoke with a lot of the folks who were there, and here's what Amy Enix had to say.
And I'm really concerned that we're actually putting our vulnerable population more at risk. By not getting people back to work, we won't have the resources to help them.
All right, Amy Enix speaking with WFAE's Steve Harrison at Tuesday's reopen protest in Raleigh. Steve's on the line with us now. So give us an idea of you know, there are obviously a lot of arguments, people across the spectrum talking about reasons they think it should reopen. Can you give us a sense of the political ideologies that are represented at these rallies, or at least the ones you've been to?
So, like I said before, the people who are showing up, a big support for President Trump, who, of course, has, kind of has on one hand from the White House this official guidance of very kind of cautious, trying to see the 14-day decline in new cases. And, of course, the president, tweets out that he wants certain states to be, quote, liberated. A lot of support for President Trump. For the rally on Tuesday, Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest spoke to the organizers by Zoom, encouraged them. Congressman Dan Bishop was there. He's the Charlotte congressman of the 9th District. Now, he was there wearing a mask, interestingly enough. Not many other people were. This is definitely a conservative, a Republican movement to reopen the state.
Well, you talked about Dan Bishop. He was there. Let's listen to what he said about at least one of the reasons he was there.
I'm here because I'm sworn to defend and protect the Constitution, and these folks are standing up for it. And I knew that I'd have to join them when I saw the Raleigh Police Department put that tweet out that said that the right to protest is non-essential. They've lost their way.
Congressman Dan Bishop, North Carolina's 9th District, a Republican, explaining his presence at the reopened protest on Tuesday. I'm talking with WFAE political reporter Steve Harrison. So lots of reasons to be there. Again, that was a reference to the tweet put out by the police department saying that that this was not protected action, that this was not covered in the exemptions by the governor's orders. The governor himself said, in fact, that free speech and the right to protest was exempt. And so from the governor's point of view, the governor's office said that this was exempt. But let's talk about some of the other things, because I think there's mounting evidence, Steve, that the protests across the country are receiving behind-the-scenes support from right-wing national interest groups. What is the story here in North Carolina?
So in North Carolina, I spoke with one of the organizers, Ashley Smith from Morganton. She said, you know, she kind of started this with a couple other working mothers. They started a Facebook group. They had about 60,000 members. Now, they got help after leading up to Tuesday's rally. There was this question of whether they were going to be allowed to do it or not, whether or not the protest is legal under stay at home. So an attorney from the law firm Michael Best, which has a lot of ties to conservative groups, called them and offered to help them pro bono. They took the firm up on that offer, and he wrote the governor, and there was some back and forth. Ashley Smith said they got a lot of offers, legal help, to help them out. I mean, I asked her about the idea of financial help and kind of, you know, outside organization. She said they haven't gotten any. There was offers to bring people in by buses, to get more people at the rally, and she said they really turned that down. One of the reasons she said she didn't want kind of the scrutiny of the idea that it would be called, you know, an AstroTurf organization. So, I mean, I think this was, in North Carolina at least, a pretty grassroots effort.
Right. You talked about that law firm, though, that has been offering help to others around the country. What do we know about that firm itself and kind of where they are and who else they've been helping out?
They have ties, I think, with the president. I think they've worked in Wisconsin to when Governor Scott Walker, former Governor Walker, there was the recall effort. They worked to support him. In North Carolina, I mean, what they did was they wrote the governor a letter over the weekend, you know, saying like, look, a week ago we had someone arrested. Are we going to be allowed to do this? We need to know. So kind of from that very narrow perspective, I don't think it, you know, that was a tremendous amount of help or assistance. I think it was a pretty interesting question that needed to be answered, because in Charlotte, where I am, there have been protests outside an abortion clinic, and the police arrested some of the protesters because they said that there were more than 10 people protesting. You know, there's the right. stay-at-home order limits right. gatherings of 10. So they were arrested. So it's an interesting question of like, well, you know, Charlotte police felt that you could not have this rally. And like you said earlier, the governor kind of came back and said, no, you can just maintain social distancing.
Right. So that's been one thread and one question throughout all of this, the legality of the protests themselves. And then, of course, the ultimate question, when should we go back to work? State Republicans, particularly in the state legislature, have been agitating to reopen a little bit earlier. And I know that you spoke with State Senator Phil Berger, who talked about many of the concerns having to do with the reopen orders and whether or not the governor has been transparent enough. Let's hear a little bit about from that conversation that you had with Phil Berger.
In his top line items, there's just a glaring lack of transparency as to how do you do tracing if you don't have information as to how many people have recovered.
As Republican State Senator Phil Berger, so Steve, give us a broader outlook of what the argument is for those who argue that we should open sooner.
Well, I mean, going back to kind of his specific point about the transparency, I think there's been a frustration, I think, statewide and at individual county levels in terms of trying to figure out where we are in the pandemic, because the counties in the state release some information. They don't release other information. Yesterday, the presentation from the state was pretty detailed. And I think for the first time, they kind of laid out these detailed benchmarks of what they want to see happening. So I think and Senator Berger kind of he was happy to see that in his statement yesterday. But the big push, I think, from a lot of Republicans is that this is not the same outbreak across North Carolina. You know, Charlotte has 1,400 cases out of, how many are we in North Carolina now? Pushing 8,000.
Right.
So it's this you know, big problem, and much bigger problem in Charlotte than it is in Gaston County next door, other rural counties. There's still, I think, seven counties that have no confirmed cases at all. So there's a really an argument that it should not be a one-size-fits-all order for the entire state.
So we're going to take a look at those arguments in detail as we talk with a county commissioner from North Carolina who believes that his commission should have more authority. We'll talk about that. Also, we'll look at some of the political action behind the protest. But Steve Harrison, thank you so much for your reporting. Thanks for talking with
us. Thanks so much.
Steve Harrison, political reporter for WFAE in Charlotte. You can find a link to his reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Up next, we take a look at the links between top GOP donors and the organizers of the National Reopen Movement. Protests in Raleigh continued this week as frustration grows over the lengthening stay-at-home orders. Similar rallies have now been held in dozens of other states. The Reopen Movement claims to be a grassroots initiative. The North Carolina branch tells the story of moms meeting over Facebook, but organizers here and in other states show links with national right-wing interest groups and top federal advisors. The top-down influence has critics of the Reopen Movement calling it a classic example of astroturfing, where powerful interest groups leverage the appearance of grassroots organizing to pressure politicians. To break down the nuances of the movement and the nature of the relationships, I'd like to welcome Lisa Lehrer. She's a reporter for the New York Times and a CNN political analyst. Lisa, welcome to State of Things.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Good to have you. Can we tell what role anybody within federal government might be taking in these protests, an active role?
Well, I'm not sure there's anyone within federal government that's taking an active role in these protests. What we do know is there are plenty of people in the Trump orbit who are involved with helping organize these protests and helping, just get people to them and perhaps even fund them. We know that there's a number of donors, particularly in Wisconsin, who have lent their public support. One anonymous donor has pledged to bail people out of jail, to pay bail for anyone who's arrested in the course of a protest there. We also know that many of the groups that have gotten involved in these protests, groups that were involved previously with the Tea Party movement, are strong allies of the administration, and they're helping to coordinate and organize some of the activists who are attending some of these events.
Well, let's talk about who those groups. Who are they? What groups are we talking about?
Well, so one group is Freedom Works. That's an organization that was they're formed out of the Tea Party movement, which, as I'm sure many of your listeners remember, started in 2009, 2010, really as a response to the Obama administration. They were arguing against the bailout and the stimulus packages back in the last financial recession in 2008-2009. They've been sort of quiet, a little quieter during the Trump administration, but they've now really, their activists, what they would say is their activists, the people on their list, want to be involved with these protests, so they're just helping connect people. But that's also an organization that has some fairly strong ties to the Trump administration. One of the members of that group, Stephen Moore, was a Trump campaign advisor in 2016. He was someone that the administration wanted to nominate to the Federal Reserve Board, but Congress basically wouldn't approve him for a variety of reasons. And he's also someone who sits on Trump's very massive board of people working to reopen the economy. So he's definitely a direct link between the administration and these protesters.
What about the role of churches, at least early on in this conversation?
So, yeah, the churches, the social conservatives are also fairly involved with pushing to lift some of these restrictions, some of these stay-at-home orders. And we've seen a number of social conservative groups, particularly groups that do really do legal work for churches, getting involved and really suing a lot of local and county officials, even some governors, to oppose things like churches being forced to do services via remote services. They think that if Home Depot is open and other kinds of big box stores like that, churches should also be able to meet as long as they follow CDC guidelines. So we've seen that piece of it as well. And many of those leaders also have direct channels into the White House and speak with folks over there in the White House fairly often.
You talked about Stephen Moore and the fact that he is in the administration as an economic advisor to the president, also actively supporting and helping groups that are protesting now stay-at-home orders. And you spoke with him at length about this. How does he reason, what's his rationale for reopening sooner than some medical authorities and experts would want?
Well, his argument is that the economic, sort of the coming economic trouble, I guess it's already here if you look at those lines of people waiting to get food from food banks and the unemployment numbers, that's going to have a real impact on people's health and security and lives just as much as the coronavirus will. So he's arguing that there's a level of risk the country should be willing to take to start reopening in order to preserve the economy and preserve people's livelihoods. I'm not sure. And he also argues that, there are hot spots and maybe more rural areas aren't as effective. I'm not sure the public health officials would agree with that. I think part of their reasoning is that the reason the virus hasn't spread in quite the same numbers, or part of the reason to those more rural areas, is because things were shut down and people weren't moving about. And once you reopen, you could sort of contribute to the spread of the virus or even sort of hasten on a second wave or something like that. But, I mean, his basic argument is that those risks are worth taking to preserve the economy.
Well, we're going to talk more about that, the taking a regional approach and whether that's appropriate at this time. Lisa Lehrer is a reporter for The New York Times and a CNN political analyst. Lisa, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
As we said, protesters and presidential advisors are not the only ones advocating for a reevaluation of statewide stay-at-home orders. Across the state, local government officials are stepping up to ask Governor Cooper to hand down authority to reopen. Some members of the Wilkes County Board of Commissioners are among them. Eddie Settle joins me now. He is chair of the Wilkes County Board of Commissioners, also chairs the North Carolina Association of County Commissioners Agricultural Steering Committee. Hello, Eddie. How are you doing?
I'm great. Great. Thank you for having us.
Good, good. Well, I'm glad to hear you're doing well. We just heard about, some of the protests and the argument, and it's an argument that you make in an open letter to the governor, that we should take a more regional approach, that counties should have really more authority about deciding when to reopen. And tell us more about that.
I do. I believe that. I'm just looking here at our numbers for my county. When we wrote this letter on the 16th, we had 4 cases, and we had been there for about 3 weeks. Now we're up to 11. But our neighboring counties, Ash 4, Allegheny 2, Avery County has not had a case. Wilkes 8, Watauga 8, and Yadkin 11. We just don't have very many cases, and the phone does ring from, I heard her mention churches, but also businesses and people. And in Wilkes County, 30%, we're forecasting now that we would lose at least 30% of our sales tax in the upcoming budget, which is about a 14% decrease for all of our departments.
Well, no, and I know you've heard the counter to this, but it is that the fact is you have such a low caseload right now precisely because these measures were in place. Lift them now, and you may see a huge spike.
Well, and I'm not an expert, and you're exactly right. But we think that, just like I heard her mention, I drove by Lowe's Home Improvement this morning, and if I could find a parking place, if I were going in that business, I would have had to have driven around a few minutes to find one. It was that full. So the social distancing is already here. I just don't see the difference in going into Lowe's Home Improvement or going across the street to McDonald's and having a burger and be able to sit at a table.
Well, I'm talking about, let's see about some of the things, too, that have canceled because, obviously something has changed, right? There has been a shutdown, so there's fewer people out and fewer people together. So I think that's part of the argument. In fact, it's kind of interesting. I just noticed in India, which had been completely flat through this entire period in terms of cases, a very, very small, suddenly a spike in cases just this week. So here's a nation of 1.3 billion people with huge cities that had gone flat and then suddenly spiked. So I think part of the argument in return back and forth over this is whether or not we ever know when it's over.
No, and nobody knows. It's here until we have a vaccine. And we stated that in our letter to the governor. We realize that. And our Health and Human Services, they know it, and we can work together. And in our region, which is very low in cases, we have some type of gradual opening.
What would that look like? Can you give me a sense? Because I know that Merlefest has been canceled this year, right? But then a lot of vacationers, migrant workers, truck stops, all that. How would it look if you had that authority? What would you? How would you shape it?
Well, in my opinion, and talking to some of the other counties, we closed all of our campgrounds 2 weeks ago, and short-term rentals, all those were closed. If we could open up 50%, possibly with the governor's opening on May the 8th in his phase one, that would be our first step. And I think that everyone around us feels the same way. I know every county, they're thinking about opening a third of theirs, and they've never had a case. They're still zero, and that would be a first step. But there's a plan that, I mean, we could put one together, but we can only be more restrictive. We can't be less restrictive than the governor's plan. So our hands are tied.
I know there are now confirmed cases at the Tyson Chicken Plant in Wilkes. Does that change your calculations anyway?
I don't know. Confirmed cases there. I don't know if they've got a case or what. I don't think it's too bad. I mean, plant's got 2,000 people. If they have one case, that's pretty minimal. We only have 11 cases verified, excuse me, in our entire county.
Well, Eddie, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having us. Hope you have a great weekend.
You too. Eddie Settle, chair of the Wilkes County Board of Commissioners, also chairs the North Carolina Association of County Commissioners Agricultural Steering Committee.